step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Now, from the Star Reynolds Sports Desk, your 93.3 KJR-FM Sports Headlines.
2 o'clock headlines are brought to you by Buddy's Goodies and Glass. It's always 420 at Buddy's. Still nothing new to report on Buffalo Bills safety Damar Hamlin. He had his heartbeat restored after suffering cardiac arrest on Monday Night Football yesterday in Cincinnati. Remains in critical condition at a Cincinnati hospital. NFL saying the Bills-Bengals game will not resume this week. They have a lot to work out, but as of right now, nothing new in terms of what's going to happen with the game. There's home field advantage, buys, all that stuff in play. Yes, unfortunately, there is a football element involved here. Kraken tonight, they're in action, taking on the Edmonton Oilers. Leading scorer in the National Hockey League is Connor McDavid. He will join his teammates in welcoming the Kraken to start a 7-game roadie. That's the longest road trip of the season for the Kraken, who lost to Edmonton just a few days ago here at Climate Pledge Arena. Better news for the Kraken would be this. Not that it's bad news you're playing tonight, but not good news you're seeing Connor McDavid. Better news would be the Winter Classic outdoor hockey game will be here next year at T-Mobile Park. Kraken taking on the Vegas Golden Knights. That is coming up on Monday, January 1st, 2024. Should be a lot of fun to watch that game out there as well. And the NCAA has a group that has actually proposed a 90-team basketball tournament for March Madness. Thumbs up, thumbs down, Chris Kidd. Thumbs up, thumbs down. You're nuts, man. 64 is a bracket. Crazy. All right, let's move on to 2 o'clock hour. Santa's going to join us about 10 minutes time. We'll check in with him at that time. Sometimes you have to understand, I think, as a sport, why you are popular. College basketball is popular in March because of one thing outside of the hotbeds of college basketball, because everyone can do a bracket, fill it out easily, follow it online. It's legalized gambling, even places it's not legal here, in places like that. 64 is a nice even number we're used to. 90, silly. Although, you think about it, in terms of bowl games, there's more bowl games, right? So, all right. Chris Kidd's running the show in there. He's also the mentor today.
Yeah, I'm doing everything.
Everything today because Anders is sick. But we have a brand new member of the KJR team, despite, I'm sure, many warnings from friends, family, and other people in the business saying, you don't want any part of 93.3 KJR FM. The great Jessamine McIntyre is joining us. She's now the assistant program director, show producer for 1 to 3, which would be the Ian Furness show. Third person reference on a Tuesday, and nice. And also she will play the same role and fill that same role that I've been missing for a while, and that is kind of the voice of reason that Kevin Shockey provided so well for so many years. And I'm thrilled to have you here. It shows that Rich has no faith in me as a show, so he went out and hired somebody of your caliber. But that's fine. I'm okay with that. You know what? We can all be better. But welcome, welcome, and welcome. I know we all wish. You know, Chris and you and I were talking about it. We all wish it was a better day.
Yes.
In the world of sports with Damar Hamlin's situation as we kind of await some good news. We wish it was a better day. But for us here at KJR, selfishly, it's a great day. So welcome.
Thank you very much. you say that he has no faith, but I worked with Jim Moore for a decade. So, You know, I've taken a
Chris,
few
hits. Chris,
he's a load, isn't he? All good.
Chris, how was that?
You know, it's a learning. It's a day-by-day thing.
Yeah. Well, you throw a bucket in the mix, and my God.
Well, thank you, Chris,
I'm surviving.
For also showing me the ropes. You're surviving quite a
you
lot
know
today.
What? I'm not showing you the ropes. I'm just reminding you, because you've done this.
That's
it's just been
point.
A while. You yeah. just need to have the dust removed, and I think you'll be fine.
Thank you.
We competed against Jess for a long time. For people that don't know, she worked across the street at 710 on the AM dial, and she was an original producer there. Like, I think the original executive producer, right?
Yep.
Yeah, yes. They brought you in from ESPN Radio. And
yeah, the station didn't exist actually before I moved here.
You came here to do that and worked there for a while and did a great job. And no one liked competing against you. But you know, we've always felt like we've had really good people here behind the scenes. We feel like we've upgraded even more. I'm excited to work with you. I really am. I think that your perspective on sports is important for us, not just as someone who's knowledgeable, works sidelines as a side gig, And you'll still do that for the Cougs, right?
Of course.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Go Cougs.
And have worked sidelines for other sports as well. I've done Seahawks sidelines. So you've been out there and covered stuff. You've worked in television.
Mm-hmm.
You have a great experience. And I think all those are important. I think having a female's point of view is important as well. I'm excited to have you here. So
thank
welcome.
You. Yeah, I hope that I do the listeners right, because honestly, that's what I miss the most, is the ability to connect with the sports fans that are so amazing here in Seattle. And since I've been, since I have not been in sports talk radio, the hockey team came on board. We have a whole new professional sports league that I haven't even had the chance to touch yet. So I'm just really excited. Thank you for having me, and thank you for being so welcoming. I'm not going to live up to the things
Listen, you've already walked by and seen Softy, so that's this will be the nicest he's ever going to be to you. So just understand.
He told
that.
me newbies by lunch. For the first month. So
he's got, Chris, if you were to stack it up, be like a phone book, right? How many gift cards he's got to Taco Time? He's got like,
oh
yeah. So
what do you guys want?
Sitting around,
kid, you hungry?
Yeah, no, you'll see that he's actually he'll call. It's random. It's always when you bring lunch in. When you bring a good lunch in, he'll say, hey, what do you want? What do you want?
Kid, you want anything? I'm going to Taco Time. I'll be back in 30 minutes.
Does everyone have their own softy? Like, everyone does a softy?
Yeah.
All right, I'll work on mine.
Yeah, no, you don't need to.
I got
to
get learned up.
No, you don't need to.
Maybe we shouldn't.
We'll check text. We'll check text at the bottom of the hour. The good news is with text, people either love you or hate you already. So welcome to sports radio. Did you miss all that stuff?
You know what? I don't want to read it,
no,
please.
No, I'll read the good stuff.
Okay, only read the good stuff. I'm very fragile right now.
No. It's good. It's good. People missed you. So
I miss them.
We'll check text 49451 at the bottom of the hour. Tell them we're due text line. That's Jessamyn. She'll be back with us then. In the meantime, Mike Sando standing by.
It's time for our Monday visit with Mike Sando of The Athletic. Brought to you by Hunt Services. For HVAC, plumbing, sewer, and electrical needs, get on the horn and call Hunt. Or visit huntservices.com. Now with Mike Sando, here's Ian Furness.
Mike Sando joins us from The Athletic, the Pick 6 column, which we'll get to some of the football Pick 6 in just a second. Normally, of course, Mike joins us on Mondays, and we appreciate him coming on this Tuesday. Mike, like everyone else, I know you who have covered the NFL for years and years. We're all kind of waiting and hoping to see and hear the very best about DeMar Hamlin. I'm sure you're watching last night like everyone else. I'll just go ahead and let you expand upon and share your thoughts on what we've watched and witnessed over the last, say, 20 hours in the National Football League.
Oh, it's like nothing else. It's just so scary, you know, and you've probably, if you've lived long enough, you've had those times in your own life when you're suddenly in an emergency situation, you're helpless for a doctor to save a relative or something like that, where you just realize that we're not in control here, you know, that you just completely are at the mercy of sometimes fate or, medical care, that sort of a thing. And it felt like that to see CPR, you know, it's just, and it wasn't like this was some, amazing hit or it was just seemed like such an unusual thing to happen off of a regular play that you just couldn't believe it. And then waiting all night of what's the news? Is he alive? Is he gonna be okay? I can't imagine. I don't see how they can play the game at all. Like they were talking about last night, are they going to resume the game? I don't think they're going to play it.
I know it's, and yeah, I would agree. I don't know how you could, you know, I think there's a lot of reasons. One, the emotions going into what happened last night with the same two teams, you know, stepping on the field again. And two, logistically, with the regular season ending this week and then the playoffs scheduled to start the next week, the issue you run into, obviously, and I think it's okay for us to talk football now after being removed from it, waiting to hear information. The football element is very, you know, it's a big part of what's going on right now, and people want to believe what they want to believe in terms of, you know, why things, you know, took an hour or so to get done last night. There's a lot of logistics going to the NFL, but I mean, Kansas City, Buffalo, and Cincinnati, those teams are all battling for the number one seed and a first round bye and then home field advantage. That's a real thing in this league that also doesn't affect just those two teams. It affects Kansas City and everybody else.
That's where you just have to look and see, hey, is there, you know, when there's an unequal number of games played, do you just default to a win percentage or that sort of thing? To me, that's the easy part. I just feel like emotionally, certainly logistically, it'd be hard to schedule another game, but just emotionally, I think it'd be hard enough for these teams to play another game soon. you know, especially the Bills. They have to play the Patriots this week. That is hard enough, let alone to get these two teams together after what they went through. I think it would just be much better to say, you know what, that we're not playing it. It's just some things are more important, and we'll figure out a way. Playoff seeding doesn't mean anything compared to DeMar Hamlin. And the teams involved showed that. Their coaches showed what I thought looked like great leadership and getting together and talking it through and having the concern for DeMar Hamlin be number one. So keep it number one. All that seeding stuff, whatever. No one's going to – that doesn't matter really at this stage to me.
Do you think the best thing would be to just let Buffalo and Cincinnati finish with the records they currently have? Buffalo and Cincinnati. Sorry, yeah, Buffalo and Cincinnati.
Yeah, I don't know.
And not have to play this week.
No. Look, that's hard to say on Tuesday. I mean, I think we need to get some more information on DeMar Hamlin before we know what the ultimate severity of this is. You know, hopefully within the next couple of days, there'll be some information there. And if it's hopefully it's real positive information and great for everybody. To me, that's different than if it's the worst possible type of information. And you just have to deal with that when it comes and try to make the decision that is best, that feels the best and seems the most ethical and, you know, the smartest thing to do under the circumstances.
Mike Sando joining us. Pick Six Calm, The Athletic, theathletic.com. All right, football-wise, a lot going on as we head into the final weekend of the year. And, you know, whatever takes place with those two teams, we are down to one playoff team to be decided in the NFC. I did find this. I like wins over expectation. I'll let you explain exactly what that is. But maybe, you know, Seattle fans might be surprised to hear, if I'm not mistaken, compared to what was predicted and what actually has happened, the Seattle Seahawks are having a better season than anybody besides the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, so wins over expectation to me is something that I try to use in just putting an objective framework together for things like Coach of the Year. So what you do is you go before the season. Las Vegas does a great job, as they do every week. Isn't it amazing how they do the point spreads and the lines? And it's like, this team's favored by 3.5, and it ends up being a 3-point game. You know, they're amazing.
It's eerily amazing, Mike, is what it is, yes.
Yeah, they're great. So before the year, they say, okay, over-under for Seattle is 5 wins or whatever. That's what we think they're going to do. And that's as objective as you can get. I'm actually calling it up here. So 5.5 wins was the Vegas win total. So that's before the season. I think most people would – you might have thought they were going to beat that or not beat it, but no one was thinking they were going to be winning 12 games or something, right? So they were 5.5. They've got 8, so they're 2.5 over. So I did that for every team in the league. And, you know, the Eagles are still – they're 3.5 over – you know, what they were projected to be. But there's a group of teams at 2.5 that is Seattle, Minnesota, 49ers, and the Chiefs. So I think that's a great way to kind of look at just, you know, cut through the whole season of narratives, right? Mm-hmm. There's all these ups and downs and our season's great and now it's terrible. Well, this is sort of a bottom line way to look and just in the end and say, okay, how did you do versus what we objectively thought you would do?
Seattle played 6 of the 8 teams in the top. In the top 8 this year, by the way, in terms of teams that they that are having a higher expectation when you include Minnesota, San Francisco, Kansas City, the Giants, the Falcons, the Jets, the Lions. I mean, they're all in that mix along the way. Seahawks fans, you'll be pleased to know that the team that underperformed to the worst abilities this year would be the Denver Broncos. Vegas had them at 10.5, and now they are at 4 wins on the season. So that's minus 6.5.
If Seattle could, you know, there's a couple of those teams down at the bottom of this thing, like, you know, like the Raiders and the Bucks. It's like, oh, if they would have won those games, they'd be at the top of this thing by far, and they'd be resting starters this week. Mm-hmm. But the season over the course of the whole year does tell the truth about you, too, the good and the bad. And they do have some holes that they obviously have to figure out. So
you wrote a couple different ways about what's going on with the Raiders and their quarterback, maybe the potential for a Tom Brady Tom Brady showing up in Vegas next season. Let me take a step back though, because I'm surprised. I think maybe a lot of people are surprised. No matter who the coach is, thinking maybe Derek Carr would be, you know, especially with Davante Adams and everything like that, would be a huge, huge part of the next couple of years in Vegas with that football team. And now he can't even get dressed for a game.
very weird situation. And, you know, some of this is obviously money driven because he has a bunch of guarantees, $40 million that would kick in this offseason if he were to be hurt or stay on the roster past, I think, the middle of February, a few days after the Super Bowl. So there's a, that is a little bit of a lever that makes the Raiders make a decision a little bit like, okay, do we want to be all in on this or we want to move on? And I think they have decided, and probably with the, you know, the owner could be involved in this too, because Mark Davis has been there for the whole 9 years of Derek Carr. So I think a decision was made that, you know what, he can only get us so far. And I think they must not like the way he plays. Okay. Mm. And Derek Carr's always been a little bit criticized, even coming out of Fresno State, for not standing in there and hanging in there. And I think there's evidence of that. I think the last couple of years, maybe he made some strides, but there's plays that he, you know, just sort of doesn't stand in there and make the throws. And I think the new regime coming from New England isn't going to have that. And so that's why I think it, you know, sets up interestingly, at least with Tom Brady, because he will run the offense the way they want it run, and he's going to be available, and he's been with Josh McDaniels for all those games. So, and it's Vegas, which I think isn't a negative for Tom Brady, probably.
I it's, you know, you wrote about Carson Wentz as well this week, and I mean, we'll get to that in a second, but man, just, we've talked about it so often, Mike, this year, and even, I think, even in the offseason heading into this season, it is so damn hard, I think, to find a quarterback that you feel really, like, not to find a guy, but to find a guy that you feel confident and comfortable in, you know, for years to come, right? You know, like for not just this season, but the next couple of seasons in a win now league. You know, I was just kind of going through it, you know, in the upper half of the AFC, like in the playoff picture. I think everyone feels probably pretty good with the, I mean, maybe there's a question in Baltimore. They got a contract with Lamar, right? New England, Mac Jones, you know, what have you. Miami's got Tua, which is an issue with health. They probably feel better about Pickett and Pittsburgh. And then after that, boy, it's kind of a crapshoot. Nobody probably feels good about their quarterback, including the team that signed a guy to the long-term in Denver. And the NFC, San Francisco, they're the number two seed, maybe the best team in the NFL, but we don't know who their best quarterback is, right? Like, we have no idea who their best quarterback is. It's crazy. Like, just finding that guy. I always, you know, circle back to Geno Smith again. Knowing what you have in Geno Smith, you're
excited about. We've got Herbert or Burrow or Mahomes. So there's five of those guys usually at any time in the league. Or you have somebody that hasn't played enough to confirm that they're not going to be good, right?
Right.
So you spend a few years with Carson Wentz when he's young, or you got Mac Jones.
I was going to say, that's the Mac Jones. That's the Mac Jones plan, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So you do that for a few years, and you have hope because it hasn't been disproved yet. Totally. Mm-hmm. Then you sort of get in between to where that's where the mistakes or the hard part gets made, because you have someone who's good enough to be your quarterback, but you have to pay them like they're those top guys. I think that's the hard part for a Kirk Cousins, a Derek Carr, right? They're good pro quarterbacks,
right,
but they're not the huge difference makers. They're not going to overcome you having the 25th ranked defense, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think, when you have somebody like that, the best thing you can have is options and not be overly committed. So that's why, like, Geno Smith would be a great one to keep, but only at a price,
right?
At a right price. And then maybe you do draft somebody, or, you know, have another option where you're not just Kirk Cousins fully guaranteed every year after year, and you can't get out of it for cap purposes because he is pretty good, but you're kind of stuck in the middle, right, as a team. And then it starts limiting your options of what you can do. You don't want to do that. And I don't think they're going to do that, because they sort of felt like they were in that with Russell Wilson at the end when he wasn't as good and was costing Mahomesian type money, right, without delivering that.
Well, as you're going through that, I'm kind of looking, trying to find the comp for Geno Smith right now. And I don't think there is one in the NFL. Maybe it's Cousins, because, you know, like, because it's not, I don't think it's Andy Dalton necessarily, right? You wrote about Carson Wentz and, you know, what happened last week with Washington. I mean, you know, how many chance that guy's had, what, now three different teams he's had a chance with. And,
who would it be? You know who Geno could be is Ryan Tannehill.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah.
So when you think of, like, Tannehill had a, although, you know, Geno's origins with the Jets are unique because of just the way that it ended. It was New York. So he didn't really have as much success early. But I think Tannehill was somebody who was liked coming out, but not loved, and then had some moderate ups and downs, but was really gotten by, they sort of got rid of him by the end. And then I think he had a really nice run in Tennessee when they had a good run game. You know, at different points they had a good or bad defense, but they really got the most out of him, had it set up in a good way for him that I think Seattle would like to have it set up too, right?
Yeah. No,
the guy can make some plays in 2 minutes, but you're not asking him to carry it every week.
Well, and I think that goes back to what Pete Carroll wants, right? I mean, he wants a game like last week where Ken Walker, at least early, and even DJ Dallas, and you have a 1-2 punch that can run the football. You know, I mean, yeah. they can establish it on the ground and take, because how much better was Geno then when he didn't have, when those guys were running effectively? It took a lot of pressure off. But yeah, as I look through, hell, I don't even know who the Rams quarterback is next year. I'm sure Sean McVay doesn't either, right? I mean, you assume Stafford. But yeah,
so think of this. The Seahawks might not trade their quarterback situation with any team in the division right now. Isn't that something?
I'm just trying. Yes,
wouldn't you rather have Geno with some options and a high pick and maybe they like Drew Lock or not, than be locked in on Kyler Murray, than have Matthew Stafford nearing the end and you're not sure and you're not sure you can protect him? People are asking if he's even going to keep playing. And then the 49ers have multiple guys, but I don't know that you'd want to just totally cast your lot with Trey Lance based on what we've seen right now, right?
Well, that's the thing with Trey Lance is you just don't know. You know, a guy that's played less football than anybody in the NFL over the last 3 years, you know, including college where he played the one game. And you know, Purdy, I don't know. I don't want to take anything. Well, I'll take something away. The Purdy thing, I think, remains to be seen, right? You've got some pretty high-end weapons and the best defense in the NFL. That makes most quarterbacks' jobs a little bit easier, I would think. Right?
If I was Geno and could pick my spot, that would be it. That's a great place with the schemer. You got Christian McCaffrey, you know, a couple good receivers.
Let's see. Who am I going to throw to? Is it going to be Ayuk? Is it going to be Kittle? You know, with Debo's back, I got McCaffrey. I got a secondary running back that's good. I mean, yeah.
Maybe I won't throw it. I'll just hand it off 3 times in a row and we'll get 50 yards. So, you know, that's a pretty good setup. And I think that's indicative. That's why they've had success with multiple guys. It's a good setup.
It is. It is indeed. Mike, great stuff as always. Thank you very much. You can follow Mike at The Athletic, theathletic.com. You get the Pick 6 column every Monday, which is a great overview of the NFL. And of course, this week we'll wrap up the regular season and should be some meaty topics in there. Thank you, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
Okay, thanks.
That's Mike Sando, brought to you by Hunt Services. Hunt Services, proud to offer Hunt's Care Club for all your plumbing, heating, cooling, sewer, and electrical needs for less than $30 per month. They'll help you avoid costly repairs, stressful emergencies. Get on the horn and call Hunt's or visit huntservices.com. We'll check the text line, 49451. Tell them or do text line. We'll do that next. All right, we're back. We're going to get to text in just a couple of seconds. Chris Kidd is rolling in the other room today. He's doing about 18 different things. The 10 to 1 show. He's doing my show. He's doing Softy's show. And oh, by the way, New guy's here, or we call her new girl.
New gal.
New gal. She's here.
You can call me new guy.
That's okay. FNG is here as well. Jespin McIntyre, if you missed the news, former EP across the street. Actually, she's an executive producer, not once, twice over, because she was across the street radio, and then she left that to go be the EP at Fox 13, where basically last I saw her working there when we were working together over there. I didn't work together with her that much because you were like COVID woman. Like, you were like COVID patrol every day, weren't you?
I was. I mean, you put me on a beat. I'm going to become an expert in anything. Yeah. And that was my beat. It was leading news every single day. And I had the, at least I would consider the honor of being trusted with that every single day. And that was, I mean, there were no sports.
No.
Everything shut down. And I got very invested into making sure that people had the most accurate information every single day.
That was a grind when that was going on in TV news. I'll tell you that. It was a big time grind. But it was great to have Jess here. And then she went on and worked for the state for a while. But radio is in her blood.
I can't quit it.
She can't quit it to the point where she's coming here with this dysfunctional family. but we are thrilled to have her. She's thrilled to be part of it. Somebody texted in. Where is Anders? Anders is still here. He's sick. So he's going to be out for a few days. but Anders is still going to be a part of the station. He's going to do a lot of cracking stuff and some other things. We need people, and he's been a great asset since Kevin left, and we love Anders. But we're bringing in Jess to kind of fill the role of Kevin. She's the assistant program director. As Puckett said, we're not sure if you can do the heavy sigh. I'm not sure.
I'll work on my technique there.
There's a lot of sucking of the teeth, heavy sigh.
Heard that a lot.
Yeah, a lot of that going on. So we'll see how long it takes Jess to have the first sucking of the teeth and the heavy.
Like I said earlier, if you work with Jim Moore for over a decade, yeah. I think that just comes naturally.
I want to do this before we get to text, and I don't want to, and I don't want to just somber the mood, and we've already had a somber mood in the world of sports, obviously, with Mar Hamlin. There's nothing to update there. We can tell you that. I do want to not finish this show without saying something about Dory Monson.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dory Monson died at the age of 61 over the weekend, and different formats. Many of you probably know who he is. Yeah, I would think so. He was on the air for 25 years on radio. He was also the Seahawks pre- and post-game host on radio for years as well. In a sense, I guess we were competitors. He was in the same time slot, 12 to 3 as my show was, but different audience for sure with News Talk over on Cairo on the FM dial. But that's not the Dory I want to remember. I'll give you a quick story. Dory and I were both TV sports producers at rival stations back in the early 90s. I was a sports producer at Como TV. My anchor was Bruce King, the legendary Bruce King. And I produced the 6:30 and 11 o'clock newscasts, sportscasts. Back then, we had like 4 minutes at each time. It was actually real sports on TV. And it was a grind. It was competitive because over at King, they had Tony Ventrella. And at Cairo, they had Wayne Cody, these iconic sports figures. Yeah. And as the sports producers in town, it was myself. Dory was at King with a guy named Bill Rocky. And Dave Reese, the great Dave Reese, was over at Cairo. Well, I got to know Dory and Dave and all these guys, and we did something that would be absolutely frowned upon and probably a fireable offense in today's world, but we would combine our efforts sometimes because we would, the way we got Mariner highlights back then, for example, at the Kingdom, was we would take these big tapes, like 3/4-inch tapes, videotapes. We'd have to put them in a machine. Each station had a machine in the press box, and you basically had to roll on the tapes. Well, every now and then they'd screw up or someone would mess up and you wouldn't have your Mariner highlights. We all got along so well and worked together and said, listen, man, I didn't get the highlights or my tape screwed up or my courier got screwed up, whatever. And we would share highlights for common video all the time. And Dory was the leader of that group. He had no problem doing that. He was easily the most competitive of all of us, but he had no problem with that because there was a part of him that understood the business and understood, you know, when you compete and when you help. And that's the Dory Monson I knew. I know a lot of people, you know, there's a politics element to it. That's not today. You can disagree with somebody and discourse is fine. But Dory had, for us in the media, he understood. He was a great peer as well as competitor. He and I shared a cab back when we just did cabs, Super Bowl 49 in Phoenix, because we both got off the air at Radio Row at 3 o'clock and we both were going back to the same hotel. And so we'd share a hotel. We basically split that all 5 days. We'd meet and head back and had some great conversations. And mostly it was about our TV days. And I was always very fond of Dory when I came back to town. He's one of the first people to welcome me back, even though, again, kind of a lot of head-to-head competition. So when he died this week at the age of 61, it hurt. It scared me. He's a little bit older than me, but mostly because he's got three daughters. And he did so much for women's sports. He's such a huge advocate for women's sports that his legacy is just that. And, you know, we should always be grateful for what his being a proponent of women's sports. And my heart breaks for his family. My heart breaks for those close to him in our business and elsewhere. I can't imagine losing, you know, we're watching what's going on in the NFL. I can't imagine losing, you know, a coworker as they did across the street. And so obviously, you know, condolences to his family and his friends, because Dory was a good one. Again, whether you agree or disagree with him, it has nothing to do with it. I'm telling you, the guy that I knew going back to the 90s was a real guy and a good dude and someone I always appreciated. And I kind of look back on those days fondly because we did so much good TV. And a lot of times we had to help each other out. And it wasn't beating somebody on a story. It was just, hey.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Stuff happens in different world, different times. But yeah, he was, when I worked at Como when he was at King, and I know if Dave is listening, Reese over at Cairo, he would nod his head in agreement. So rest in peace, Dory. I want to say something real quick because you know
Dory
well.
Was my friend. And that's the most that I can say. And that is the, you know, the generous gift of the Monson family was their friendship. And, you know, all I think about is Suzanne and his three daughters right now. I can't imagine what they are going through, but I think that that is how he should be remembered, is a friend. And he was a really great one to me.
Yeah, it's been a hard couple weeks, man. You knew Mike Leach well.
Very.
You chased him down the sidelines after for 10 years or 8 years or what is in Pullman. You had to chase him down for his... I mean, I used to joke about it with Jess. I used to get, if I went to a game, I'd get a chuckle out of seeing the lady in the boots chasing his ass down the field, trying to get that two question halftime question. But
he was so mad at me for not wearing heels. He would tell me, he's like, "What? You're wearing sneakers? You're wearing flats? You're gonna catch me!"
Oh my God, he was something else. All right, let's get to text 49451. Keith Miller, he's one of our favorites. You'll see his text a lot, Jess.
Looking forward to it.
Shockey has a patent on that size, so tread lightly. Maybe an eyebrow raise or nose crinkle will keep him in line. Good luck, Jess, especially with puck.
I'll make my own thing. I'll make my own thing.
let's see. I don't know what this means, but I'm going to read it. Hopefully you'll get a chuckle out of it. Have Jessamine get Dave Kreiger on the ear as a as a bonus, you might get Dave Craig.
That's exactly what happened.
So you got a guy named Dave Kreiger on the air?
So he's a writer for Denver, the Denver Post, I believe. If he's still there, and I accidentally called, I just typed it into my phone. I've got it. And I've accidentally called Dave Craig, who I also had in my phone. And it's just the same spelling of the name with an ER on the end.
Oh,
and you
God.
Know when you're frantically producing, kid, you know this, you just like look stuff up. And I get, and all of a sudden, Calabro is like leading up to this great question.
Also,
it was KC, and Jim knows this because Jim thought it was the funniest thing in the world. And he has this whole lead up. His opening question was all about the Denver Broncos. And he goes, and Craig hardly knows me at all. He goes, "I think your girl got the wrong man because this is Dave Craig, former CEO." And Calabro waits 2 whole seconds of dead air and goes, "Mudbone," and then just did this amazing interview with him. Anyway.
Hey, how would the 10-to-1 host handle that?
Well, I'll do this quickly. The 6-to-10 show. I actually was producing that show. I was filling in for another producer.
Yeah,
and he gave me the wrong number for a Gonzaga reporter.
Okay,
so I call the guy. He's good to go. He hops on the air. Chuck does the same thing. Sets up a great question. And then he goes, oh, you got the wrong guy. I'm like, what do you mean? You said everything was like you. It's 7 a.m. Like, how do you not? Well, he had an interview scheduled. He thought it was for a different station. It all, everything just got intertwined, and it was perfect, but wrong at the same time.
Oh, my god!
So Chuck wasn't even mad at me. Chuck was like, no, kid, it's not on you. You got the wrong information. The other producer screwed you. It's not on you. Oh, but man. How the 10 to 1 show would, oh, man, they'd probably go with it, too.
But they would make fun of you the entire time. Is what
after the interview airs, after they're done, the next hour will be them, good job, kid.
The intense sweat that you get when that happens and you hear on the air, I thought I just dialed the wrong number and called some random person. And then it turns out to be Dave Craig. And that's, that was a really good one.
Oh, my gosh.
Jim Moore cackling in the background, too.
Oh, all right. Let's see. What else, guys? A lot of conspiracy stuff here. We'll leave that going. That's so good.
I was like, you good? The same exact thing. I'm sorry. The story is, I was reminded of that.
The fact that somebody is listening to us and remembers that is fantastic. We appreciate
that.
Yeah,
that was like 10 or 11 years ago.
Casey's one of those guys that could handle it, though. Calabro's the one guy that could probably, you know.
Well, and he was doing, so he was calling NBA for ESPN Radio at the time, and he was in another city, too.
Good.
So I didn't have any physical connection with anyone.
Oh,
just
gosh.
Jim Moore of all people.
Oh, was Jim in the studio?
He was in the studio.
You thought it was the funniest thing. You gotta ask Jim about that tomorrow.
That'll be the first opening 20 minutes, guaranteed.
You gotta ask Jim about that tomorrow. That'd be fantastic. All right, we're good. We're good to go. Thanks for the text, 49451. Tell them where to do text line when it's game time. It is Tully time. Jess, we will talk to you tomorrow. We'll let you go finish off with Chris in there. And are you ready to run the show on your own now?
No. Talk about
that's
that
the same
sweat.
Thing Ashley said, and then I think we got her on maybe 2-3 days later. She was fine.
Yeah. And it's like a spaceship in there. Kid has been hooking me up.
You should take a picture of that and post that online, because I think people are like, well, how hard could it be?
Yeah, it's not just pushing buttons. There's a lot of stuff going on.
It is. It's like flying an airplane. Like, you look in there, all that stuff, it's confusing. There's a reason that none of us on this side have ever learned how to do that.
Well, you graduated. Let's be real. You did it maybe. You did TV production, so that's
no,
just.
No, I did. But in my first radio stuff, we had these things called carts. That were like you just every commercial you had a stack of them and you put them in there. So
it was physical things.
Physical.
Yeah. Yeah, you did physical. The hard work. You have now the fruits of your labor is just hosting. You're
when
good.
When it got to digital, I was like, I'm out. This is it's like when we transitioned from typewriters and typing up scripts in TV and we transitioned into computers in I think it was 1989. And I thought my man Bruce King, rest in peace, my second father, I love that man. But I thought Bruce was going to lose his mind, man. He was done. He's like, I can't do this. We had to physically wrestle the typewriter out of his hand in the office. He's like, I can't do it. I said, Bruce, it's computers. It's the way of the world. Like, I can't do it. He's like, I couldn't do it. He went from writing about half the scripts to none of the scripts every night. So
he's pissed.
He's done.
Play your way out of a job that way.
He's done. Yeah. He's done. All right. We'll check in with David Mahler. We call him Softy next. Alrighty then, wrapping things up, Softies here. Again, no update on DeMar Hamlin is outside of the fact that the Bills and did release that he had a cardiac arrest. But we're waiting to hear more, but sounds like it may be a little while. What time is it? It's 5:50 back on the East Coast right now. All right, Dave Softy Mahler joins us right now. Kind of a somber day, obviously, in sports and with what happened last night on Monday Night Football.
Yeah. Was wild,
man. Were
you
at the EQC last night?
No, I was watching that thing at home last night. That was unreal. There's only been a couple times where I've had a pit in my stomach watching a sporting event, and last night was one of them, for sure.
Were you at Stanford?
I was there. Absolutely. I was sitting in the crowd when the ambulance went whizzing by Stanford Stadium about 110 miles an hour to get Curtis to the hospital, and I think all of us knew something was really wrong at that point. The amazing thing about that game, and we talked to Neuheisel about this a few weeks ago, they had this unbelievable comeback where they beat Stanford, and Stanford was good then. They were the Pac-10 champion the previous year.
Oh, wow.
With Tyrone Willingham. So Tui goes, Elstrom hooks Robbins, bing, bang, boom, touchdown. They win the game. We go back outside the locker room to that old setup they had there at Stanford Stadium, and nobody's talking about the game. Not one person asked about the game. Everything was about Curtis Williams.
In retrospect, because I had Hugh on earlier for Hardcore Football. In retrospect, especially watching last night, how surprised were you they played the rest of that game at Stanford?
Well, it was 20 years ago, right? So kind of maybe people thought a little bit differently back then.
Do you think
then.
Social media has
I
an
think
influence?
If there was social media 20 years ago, there's not a chance in hell they would have played that game 20 years ago. I mean, the guy couldn't even move.
Right,
and he gets carted off the field.
Well, he couldn't breathe, right? Like as he was saying,
I think they put a tube down his throat.
Yeah.
On the field. So 20 years ago, if there were social media around and the mob came out like they did last night, and they were all over everybody for every little move that was being made in that game, and the aftermath. I mean, broadcasters, the NFL, the officials. News people in the media like Skip Bayless, you know, people were getting barbecued last night for a lot of that stuff. So, yeah, I think they would have called the game off.
Yeah. I mean, the best thing last night was just not to say anything, right? It was because no matter what you did or said or whatever opinion you may or may not have had.
Yeah. Bayless stuff was, I mean, look, the problem with Skip Bayless is that he's starting from way behind the eight ball to begin with people, right? He's coming from a perspective of villain. Already. Well, so when the guy opens his mouth and talks about how, well, what about the rest of the year?
Right.
What about the schedule? And he did mention in his tweet that all of that seemed irrelevant.
Yeah.
After what happened last night to Hamlin, Scott Van Pelt went on ESPN and 2 hours later was talking about the same stuff.
He said the exact same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. And he was lauded for how he handled it.
Right.
It's like, well, let's just say this. If Skip Bayless's tweet came from Mina Kimes.
Sure. Totally different.
Or whoever totally different. Else, right?
Right.
It's not that same reaction.
Again, there's a perception of him, and he's got a title, obviously. I saw this morning we're on his show. I don't know if this has anything to do with what happened last night, but apparently Shannon Sharpe didn't show up for work today.
Right.
Did you see that on Fox?
Yeah.
So he's doing the show by himself. But, I mean, people hate the guy to begin with, so... Yeah. Whatever. It's not surprising.
No, it's not.
But it was a horrific situation, you know, hoping for good news. I mean, I don't know if is no news good news. I got no idea. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to even claim to have any expertise in that area whatsoever. I just know this, that when Susie Colbert goes on ESPN and says, the guy had to have CPR on the field.
Yeah.
And then you find out today that they restarted his heart.
Yeah.
I mean, that's incredible.
Well,
right?
I think one of the things I was talking to somebody with the Hawks today about that and saying that one of the things that made it so difficult yesterday, and this is why, you know, decision was made to cancel the game, but the players visually saw exactly all of that.
Right.
Like everyone was so tight. They saw that. And, you know, for that to happen,
Well, you saw the reaction from the guys that were around that huddle.
Because those guys are all used to seeing someone, you know, okay, maybe, you know, maybe it, the worst case scenario, Curtis Williams, right? There's a paralyzed, but you put him on a back, you're hoping to see some movement, or a guy's got his leg twisted the other way, what have you. It's gross, it's whatever, but you move on.
Yeah.
That's a whole different world. And obviously had shaken those guys and, it's not like this happens. I mean, 1971, a guy died on the field.
Yeah, for the Lions, I believe. Yeah. I mean, it's obviously a rare deal, but I think we all know that there's risks involved with football. And we also know that there are less and less parents allowing their kids to play football every single year.
Yeah.
And last night doesn't help the cause at all. There is an absolute risk when you play this sport that is unlike a lot of other sports out there, right? I mean, every sport comes with some element of risk. Hockey, soccer, baseball, basketball, everything comes with a risk, but I don't know if that risk is magnified like it is in football.
Well, because it's more people watch football.
Totally.
You know, more eyeballs are on it than anything else.
All right.
On that, I'll upbeat notes.
Well, Mike Holmgren's going to jump on today because we have no show Thursday because of the Kraken game.
Oh, okay.
So he will join us today at 3:28. Mike will give us his thoughts on what he saw last night. You know, there's obviously the question about what do you do with the game itself? Do you resume it? Do you not play it? Do you call it a no contest? Do the Chiefs then just win the number one seed in the AFC?
Yeah.
What does that mean for all that? What would he want to do if he were the coach of the Bills or the Bengals? So we'll talk to Mike about that. Mo Egger was at the game last night in Cincinnati.
Oh, okay.
And he's going to join us at 4:30 from Cincinnati and talk about what that was like to be there. And then John Wilner will join us at 5 o'clock. The Pac-12 bowl season is now officially over. He predicted all seven bowl games and went 5-0 before finishing with a thud in the Cotton Bowl and the Rose Bowl.
Oh,
so 5-2 overall.
Fight on, USC.
That's right. Huh? That's right. Well, Washington ended up having the best record in the Pac-12, and they probably will end up as the highest ranked team in the Pac-12.
They should.
When it's all said
they
and
should.
Done. So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the first time UW could end the year with a win and finish in the top 10 since Tui in 2000 in that Rose Bowl game. So it's been a while. Mm. Kind of fun. Yeah. I know you're fired up too. And I heard we hired a Cougar, by the way. What is going on around here?
Well, you know who hired her?
I got people bitching and moaning all over Twitter that we hired another Cougar.
Yeah.
To which I said, I don't think Jessamine's old enough to be considered a Cougar quite yet. Oh, you mean that kind of Cougar? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, listen, in all honesty, I'm fired up to have you. Welcome to the team.
Thank you. We're going to bring the crimson and gray wave with us.
What we're wondering is how long does it take her to master the assistant program director heavy sigh?
Yeah.
Kevin Shockey was.
Yeah. You know what? Let me just ask you a quick question. You did not go to Wazoo, is that right?
No, I'm adopted.
Good, because I now am happy that there's somebody else here who can get their balls busted like me for rooting for a team that they did not go to school for. And that's Washington State for you and UW for me. So anytime these knuckleheads start busting my chops about that, I expect you to have my back.
That's fair. That is fair.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. She's not gonna
I don't know if I'm going to have your back.
Yeah, no, have I'll have your back.
I'm going to fight for every single person at this station. I'll tell you that much, okay?
God help
you
us.
Know what? All those nice things I said about you, forget about it.
Hey, we got the tape. It's on the
taco
record.
Taco Time's coming in, by the way. Yeah. When are you bringing Taco Time in?
Well, the new person buys lunch. Did you not know that?
Not if the new person has allegedly. A deal Taco Time.
New person buys lunch.
Right. See ya.
See ya.
For the mild-mannered and marginally objectionable Ian Furness, this is Pat O'Day saying, so long, everyone.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.